All right. So last week, I was just so encouraged to hear the reports of what took place. And I know that a while back, the Lord began to speak to me about doing a series on fear. Because fear is something that every single one of us deal with. It's definitely a problem. For people, whether you're in the church or out. I asked Nikki to bring what God had on her heart, and it seemed that the Lord was saying that maybe this was the time, you know, for this to come forth. I will tell you one thing that I'm just so thankful with Nikki. I love her transparency. I hope you do. We need more transparency in our pulpits. We have pastors and people and preachers that hide behind titles. And you need to understand, I put on my pants the same way you do, okay? I don't have, you know, the birds don't bring them in, and, you know, I just kind of step into them. And, you know, that's not how it works, all right? I go through the same struggles just like anybody, but sometimes, you know, especially in our celebrity culture, we try to put people up on pedestals. We can never put men and women up on pedestals. And that's the thing. One of the things that we, when we share pieces of our testimony, we're not proud of those things that we once had to wrestle with and go through. But what we do is we kick the devil in the teeth and we say, you know, you don't have control of us anymore. I'm not proud, and I laugh about it, but I'm not proud of those facts that I was dancing on the bar stools and, you know, leading the whole place and all that. But what I am proud of is the fact that God can take that knucklehead and he can fill him with his spirit and he can put him behind a piano and now he can lead a congregation in worship for a real purpose. Amen? See, that's the redemptive nature of the God that you and I serve. You know, he never gives up on people. When we give up on people, God never gives up on people. And I'm just so thankful for you, Nikki. I am, more than you realize. And she's a tremendous blessing here at the church, and I know she has been for many of you. But I do want to say one thing about Nikki. She has a phobia. And it's not arachnophobia. She has a fear of bees. Did you know that? I think she shared that last week. So I looked it up, and it was apophobia. And then the other name for it is melissophobia. And so it's not you, Melissa. All right? It's melissophobia or apophobia. So we're praying with you that you'll be set free from apophobia, Nikki. Hallelujah. Can we just agree for Nikki this morning? Hallelujah. But fear is an issue that every person deals with. Some have it more than others, okay? And it's more than just spiders and bumblebees and those types of things. Our lives, our life experiences, our upbringing, okay? The situations that we have walked through in our lives, whether they were done to us or we made some bonehead choices or whatever, they all influence how we interpret life. And I've never, ever met a person who has not dealt with fear at some point or another. And I'm not just talking about being afraid of the dark, but honestly, that can be where it starts. Sometimes it can develop into a full-blown phobia, and it can be fed by a lot of the junk that's out there in the media and the movies and everything else that we watch. And you might think that those things are innocently doing, you know, we're just watching it for the adrenaline rush. I'm telling you, they're demonically controlled, and they can have an incredible influence in your life if you're not careful. Fear manifests in many different ways. Here's just a few. Okay, and this is not an all-inclusive list. Anger, a controlling spirit, stubbornness, authority issues, lack of trust, skepticism. How about shyness? How about extreme introversion? These are things that can get a hold. These are manifestations of an underlying problem of fear. Fear is something that we all battle, but when we understand what it is, we can deal with it properly. I mentioned these three areas as we prayed. the fear of man, the fear of failure, the fear of the unknown. And those will be the three things that, as we move forward in these next several weeks, that we'll deal with. But before we delve into that, I think it's important that we understand what fear is and where fear comes from. Nikki laid a tremendous foundation for this, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm gonna dip into just a couple different areas today. Today I'm going to talk about a main one, and it's this. Fear is a spirit, okay? Fear is a spirit. There is a spirit of fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." A lot of our versions say God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Now, here's the thing. The Spirit of God, all right, is exactly the opposite of the spirit of fear. Because if you are here today and you're powerless, you're loveless, and your mind is all over the place, it's probably a good indication that you might be under a different influence, a different spirit, if you will, okay? The spirit of fear does not produce power in your life. The spirit of fear does not produce love in your life. And the spirit of fear does not produce self-control or that sound mind that we are all looking for in our lives. The Spirit of God is the very thing that produces that kind of fruit in your life. See, the spirit of fear is not a spirit that comes from God, but it comes from the father of lies, okay? The father of lies is who? It's the devil himself. Fear is simply this. It's a demonic spirit. Specifically, I love the way Jimmy Evans teaches this, and I wholeheartedly embrace this, but it's a demonic spirit of prophecy, okay? And let me explain this to you a little bit. The prophets would speak, okay? And they would speak. The Spirit of God would give them a download, and the prophets would speak forth. The gift of prophecy, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gift of prophecy is primarily given to build up and edify. In fact, in verse 7, it says it's done for the profit of all, okay? Now, just because a person operates in the gift of prophecy doesn't mean that they're a prophet, okay? So the gift of prophecy is definitely something that we need to embrace and we need to see happen more and more of in the body of Christ. But it does need to have covering. It needs to go out with blessing. It needs to have teaching and discipleship, just like anything. Because there can be abuses to that. But the gift of prophecy was intended to edify. It was intended to build up the body of Christ individually and collectively. So it makes sense that a spirit of fear would do the very opposite thing. It is intended to tear down and make one question and skeptical of everything in life, and especially their relationship with the Lord. One who prophesies, again, is not necessarily filling that role, because we live in a day and age, don't we, where there's a lot of false prophets out there, okay? And I'm not going to go down a grocery list or anything like that, but you need to be on guard. You need to understand. Fear has a voice. And again, it's not the voice of the Lord. It's a counterfeit to the truth. It speaks, and it only speaks lies. There's a song out right now. I bet all of you could know it. You know, fear is what? Fear is a liar. It is a liar. Truth will say this. Truth will say that all things are possible, or I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Fear says nothing is possible. You have to go out and get it all on your own. You can't trust God. Truth says, give and it shall be given. It says, if I tithe, I'm going to receive the blessing of the Lord on my money. You know what the spirit of fear says? If you tithe, you're not going to have enough. You see, it's the exact opposite. It's a demonic spirit of prophecy, prophesying the end result, but only it's a fearful thing that comes. Truth says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Fear comes in and says, you don't really want to put your hope and trust fully in him. Maybe just a little bit of Jesus. Truth says the Lord is married to the prodigal. I love this one. Spirit of God spoke this to me. He's married to the prodigal. That's what the Spirit of God says. It means if you have a son or a daughter who's wayward and they're walking away from God, the Bible says that the Spirit that God is married to the prodigal. But you know what the spirit of fear comes and says? They're too far gone. They're too far gone. They can never be reached. Can I tell you the love of God can reach anybody? If they've got breath in their lungs, the love of God can reach anybody. Anybody. Anybody means anybody. Truth says love trusts and believes all. In fact, if you read in Corinthians 13, it talks about the love of God. It believes all. It trusts. It thinks of good things towards people. What does fear say? You can't trust anybody. See, that's the spirit of fear. It's the exact opposite. Listen to this. This is awesome. Fear is nothing more than a lying fortune teller attempting to destroy the work of God in you and keep you from growing and maturing in your faith. It's a lying fortune teller. I love it when God gives me something like that, you know, and I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, wow, that's good. That needs to go in a book, you know. And it's like, pride! No, okay, you know what I'm saying. So number one, fear is a spirit. Not only is fear a spirit, but fear is a spirit looking for a vacant house to occupy. All right? Fear looks for a door. Fear looks for a window to come in through. All right? The enemy is very crafty. You don't have to worry about him coming knocking at your door. You don't have to worry about him trying to destroy the work of God in your life. He's looking for an open door. He's looking for a way to get in. And he will do anything and he will do everything he can to gain mastery and influence over you. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. It says, be alert. Be sober. Be alert. Because your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. I heard it many years ago. I had a pastor, and he would always describe this pride of lions. And the pride of lions, what they would do when they were hunting prey, they would try to get one away from the pack, okay? And if they could roar over here, and another one would roar over here, and they would get them disoriented, and they would get them fearful, and they would get them away from the pack. And when they were away from the pack, you know what happens? They pounced, and they destroy. And they would shred their prey. That's the way the devil works. He tries to get you through maybe some innocent way. Maybe it's just one little click of the mouse. If I just click on this, or if I just look at that, or if I just listen to this. Those are open doors for the enemy. If I just watch this. Friends, I want to say something to you. Some of our entertainment choices have got to change. And again, I do not have a religious bone in my body. But are you feeding the Spirit of God or are you feeding the flesh? Because if you feed the Spirit of God, it's like taking that open spot in your life and filling it up with Jesus. You know, Christians are like what? Tea bags, right? Christians are like tea bags. You put them in hot water and you find out what's on the inside. There's really no difference. People are just that way. What happens when you get in hot water? What comes out of you? What are you filling up with? Is it the things of God? Because your adversary, the devil, he's looking to destroy you. Remember, the devil doesn't take a day off, does he? He does not take a day off. He doesn't. He doesn't all of a sudden just say, oh, Janet, oh, man, she's holding a baby today. I'm just going to, oh, and that's a cute baby, by the way. That's my grandson. I'm going to just take it easy on Janet today. No! He wants to destroy her. He wants to destroy the work of God. He wants to come and discourage it. He wants to bring voices to her that are going to just say that you can't do it. You can't do it. You're single. You can't do it. You can do it in the name of Jesus. 1 John 5:19, it says, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. I think sometimes we forget that. When humanity fell, Satan became the ruler of the world. Now, he has boundaries that have been ordained by God, but he is the ruler and the prince of this world. He dominates the world and he dominates the world systems. He patrols the earth and is commander of a host of evil spirits through whom he enslaves and he keeps captive those without Christ. He remains a threat to believers and he seeks to destroy them. The devil wants nothing good to happen to you. Never wants anything good to happen to you. Well, how does he do it, Pastor? Through open doors. Through open doors that have been left unattended. You got to understand something. Fear is invited in. All right? Just like the devil, because this is a spirit that comes from the devil himself. Fear is invited in through the doors of primarily, and I know Nikki touched on this a lot last week, woundedness, hurts, offenses, okay? Unforgiveness, bitterness of all kinds. Fear gains mastery over us, and not only does fear gain mastery over us, but he invites friends. You see, we don't like to be alone when we're miserable, do we? Misery loves company. So we look for people that maybe have that same spirit. And then we get together and we form a small group and we talk about it. Or if we go out and we have coffee and we talk about all this stuff. Friends, sometimes we need that friend to speak a word of truth into our life and say, you need to go to Jesus. But the spirit of fear, sometimes even for us as Christians, will keep us from saying, you need to go to Jesus. And then we participate in that gossip cycle over and over and over. And it never breaks until finally somebody with enough courage and enough of the Spirit of God will actually speak truth into the situation and say, stop in Jesus' name. Fear gains mastery. Fear invites friends. My life becomes about self-preservation. In fact, that becomes my life mission. It's all about me, myself, and I. When we continue to carry these things around in our lives, and it's staying with us, and it's just like saying, hey, devil, come on over here, spirit of fear, come on in. When we carry these things over and over and over, and the Spirit of God is calling to us, and he's asking us to lay it down. You don't need this offense anymore. You don't need to carry this wound anymore. You don't need to walk your life as an eternal victim. And we refuse, and we hang on, because it's all we know. We're more comfortable in our dysfunction than we are operating in the newness of the freedom that we have in Jesus. Because it's more comfortable. I know how to cope with dysfunction. I know how to cope with my hurt. And what do? We just keep ignoring it and ignoring it and ignoring it. We continue to say these things. We invite the enemy in. Not only does it affect us, but it also affects the body. See, friends, here's the thing and here's the truth. Church is not about the pastor. It's not about the worship leader. It's not about a certain group of people that are teaching. It's not about just individuals that are leading small groups or that. Church is about every single one of you. You are the family of God. And as the family of God, you have a valuable treasure inside of you in the body of Christ. We, your family, we need that piece of Jesus that's in you. And sometimes fear will keep you from releasing that to the body. It will keep you and it will hold you hostage. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being held hostage by fear. Fear is a liar, amen? It's a liar. He's a liar. All right, we got to bring her in for a landing, don't we? Okay. There is a remedy. Go ahead. There's a remedy. We have to fill up the vacancy. We got to fill up the vacancy. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't go that route. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And it's in that law, it's in God's word,
It says that he meditates day and night. And then it goes on to say that he shall be as a tree planted by a river of water. And that tree will bring forth fruit in its season. And not only that, that tree will produce the needed shade. The leaves will not wither. And it will produce the needed shade for that fruit in the adequate amount. And it will produce life. In his law, he meditates day and night. You want to fill up the vacancy in your life? It's not going to be standing in the path of sinners. It's not going to be sitting with mockers and scornful people. It's not going to be in all those places. In fact, it says that they will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. It says that they will be like the chaff that the wind drives away. The ungodly will not stand in the congregation of the righteous, you see. But those who anchor themselves in the river of life in Jesus, you're going to bear fruit worthy of the kingdom. Fear gets a hold of us. It occupies places that were meant for Jesus. We have to fill the vacancy with truth. We have to fill the room with truth. We have to put on Jesus. And if I can be transparent for a moment with you as a pastor, one of the things that I probably struggle with more than anything is the fear of man. I can go out and I can talk to people about Jesus. Sometimes it's just the fear of the people that I lead, because I want everybody to like me. I know I'm a likable guy, but honestly, sometimes I can rub people the wrong way, and I know it. And sometimes that rejection that I feel from that, I'm afraid of it. Just being real with you. Sometimes when the accusations come or somebody doesn't understand something, and rather than coming and talking to you about it, they want to talk to other people about it, that drives me crazy. And sometimes I get so focused on that fear. Fear. Here comes, they don't like you. You're ineffective. You're not a good leader. All these things. Fear of man, fear of man. Spirit of fear trying to get in my open door. I've been through so many things in church. I told my daughter the other day, because we were having a discussion about church. And I said, you know, honey, I have had probably the absolute worst heartaches I've ever had in my life in the church. But I said, I've also had the greatest victories in my life in the church. So I understand your frustration. I understand when your generation sees a church and people backbite and gossip and they say things and do things that they shouldn't. We should never act that way. I understand that. We never give one another the benefit of the doubt. We're always, you know, she sees all these things. And it's very discouraging for her generation. But I said, don't forget about the good times. I never forget the times that at an altar, I saw people just get completely free. I'll never forget the time that in our home, over on 1211 North Academy in Galesburg, that there was a gal that hadn't cried for years and years and years. She'd been so hardened, and we were in our small group, and all of a sudden the guys were over here and the girls were over there, and all of a sudden I just heard weeping, and it was her, and she was weeping before the Lord. God finally was able to break through that rough exterior and heal her heart. I never forget the times that I saw the John Wayne guys in the church, tears streaming down their face
where the Spirit of God just came in. I'll never forget the time in a service when the Spirit of God just became so thick in there. There was a woman that was sitting over here, and all of a sudden we all stood up at once, and the Spirit of God, she just began to shake, and she literally got set free from a demonic presence in her life. That very morning, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. It was the most glorious thing. She was completely set free and transformed for the rest of her life. I'll never forget the altars that were filled with young people just crying out to God, saying, I want more. I'll never forget the times of people who were broken, who were just came in and they were just shattered because they went through all kinds of abuse and sexual abuse. I'll never forget the time that I was on the drums up there and I saw Nikki come in that back door. We prayed and prayed. You know what that did to my son's faith? When he saw that, it grew, it leapt. You know what that did for me? Yes, those are victories. Those are victories. And those are all victories, and I know many of you have those victories. So yes, the church might be a place that's imperfect. Yes, the church has people. Friends, we're not perfect. But we serve a perfect God. The spirit of fear keeps you from being free. Fear is a spirit. It says this in Proverbs 29. It says that the fear of man is a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Isn't that good? Now listen, I don't know what you're all going through. I know some of your stories. I know some of the things that you're praying through and you're wrestling with right now. But I do know this. The answer's not going to lie in the world system. It's going to lie in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to eradicate the spirit of fear from your life? You got to get Jesus right in the center of everything. Let's stand to our feet this morning. See, trusting the Lord, it doesn't mean that you won't be presented with a problem or a similar situation in life. Here's the thing that happens. And again, when you have a spirit of fear, a fear of man, if you've been wounded like I was, and I mean, I had leaders in my life, people that I linked arms with for years and years and years, and man, I got wounded so deeply, I didn't think I was going to be able to trust anybody again. But God. But God. And I want to say this to you, even if I have been a cause of offense to you, I ask you to forgive me. Nothing intended. But don't let me or offense or anything, the church, anything, don't let that keep you from being free in Jesus. We have to keep short accounts. We have to get things right. So today I feel it's appropriate for us to have an opportunity to come together around the altars. Now, friends, I'm not going to beg you to come to an altar. I'm not one of those pastors that's going to whip you to the altar or anything like that. But I do feel like the Lord is speaking to us. I feel that when we come to an altar, we just step on his head. It's like just taking the devil and just holding him down. Stay there. I'm doing business with Jesus. No longer can the spirit of fear control you when you bow your knee to the King of Kings. Amen. I'm going to pray with you. And as I pray, if you want to come this morning, I just want to encourage you to spend some time with Jesus. Let's pray together. Spirit of God, we are asking for freedom. You're a God of freedom. You're a God, Lord, that sets at liberty those who are oppressed. God, you bring freedom to those who are captive to fear. Freedom to those who have been victimized in this life. Freedom to those who have had offenses and things done to them that should have never been done, Lord God. And I pray in the mighty strong name of Jesus that you will release a spirit of freedom over this house today. I pray that there would, God, not be any hindrance that any would have. I pray that as they walk, Father God, from here this day, that they would have a newness in their spirit. I pray that they would have something that God would compel them to live and to fill up that vacant spot. I pray that we as your people, God, would be like that tree planted near the rivers of water. God, we want to bear fruit. We want to be men and women of the Most High God that are serving you wholeheartedly. And I pray against anything, Father God, that would, God, dissuade or keep somebody from being all that you have created them to be, Jesus. You have treasure in this room, Lord God. So today I call forth the treasure in these dear people. I break the power of Satan.